Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 13th of November, recording at 6:46 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights. Stock markets, mostly steady. Few down in Asia, but nothing big. India, firm in here again today. Most of the European markets showing modest gains. Wall Street also, but Wall Street's gains have been pegged back. It was up over 40 on the Dow early on in the trading, and it's only up 18 as I speak. But no real technical damage taking place in any of these stock markets, which have been getting rotational consolidations. Okay, government bonds, a little bit easier in here today. And the U.S. dollar, a tad steadier overall. And remember, that's been fairly soft recently. And the drama, though, has taken place in the resources, in the industrial resources sector. First, the industrial metals, which were hit hard on Friday, sold off quite sharply early on today and then regained most of those declines, some of them actually, half of them actually closing up on the day, and including nickel. Copper also, although not quite in the U.S., but up a bit in London. And the precious metals, they sold off in line, particularly when the oil price weakened. Now, the oil price has stayed weak. It's down just over $1, 58.55. And the precious metals, again, recovered at least part of those declines. But some of these are still trading here right now and will trade for a while yet, including the after-hours zone. But certainly bit of profit taking there. Okay, where are we in terms of the global stock market cycle? Well, so far, most of these stock markets have been consolidating gains within their upward trends, and they've been doing it not all at the same time, which would really necessitate, Wall Street seeing some quite negative action, and then the Wall Street leash effect kicking in. And for new subscribers coming in all the time, if you're not sure what I mean by the leash effect, I've so often said, and well, over decades, I've said that Wall Street casts a big shadow. So basically, when Wall Street is steady to rising, that means that the leash, as in a dog walker's leash, is let out, and markets that have a lot going for them, or at least people think they do, will be able to romp. And conversely, when Wall Street starts to weaken, or is clearly weaker, then that leash, that retractable leash, pulls in. It reins in the runaway stock markets, and those that have a high beta are likely to come back down and are more likely than not will weaken more than Wall Street. So that's what I mean when I refer to the Wall Street leash effect. But there's been nothing untoward really on Wall Street to cause a general overall correction. So we've seen these consolidations taking place from one stock market to another, and they've been quite shallow overall, which is healthy action. The worst that can be said about some of these indices is that their uptrends have steepened, therefore leaving them a little bit more vulnerable to consolidations, because when an uptrend steepens, it's obviously gobbling up, or discounting, I should say, potential, the bullish potential, and it becomes unsustainable. But again, at this stage, I don't see any real danger. Now, I've referred repeatedly to those storm clouds that are always sort of out on the horizon, and the ones that would concern me the most would be a big backup in government bond yields. That hasn't happened yet, or a sharp recovery in the price of crude oil, and that certainly hasn't happened either. As a matter of fact, crude oil today is still bullish for stock markets, oil producers aside, and it's also favorable for global GDP growth, but without adding inflationary pressures. There are plenty of other inflationary pressures, but they're not coming from crude oil at the moment, rather the opposite. The correction in crude oil has actually reduced the inflationary pressures emanating from that source. Moving on to the government bonds, as long as the crude oil price is around current levels, hovering around the $60 level, and it's currently below, as I just mentioned, then I don't think government bonds will have too much to worry about. But I don't like the sector overall, as you know, too much debt, and I think that we remain in a long-term inflationary cycle, gradually rising stealth inflation. And I think therefore the government bonds are likely to underperform most other investments. And I don't see a recession or sharp slowdown. And really, I've been saying that I felt that sort of towards the end of the fourth quarter of this year that the global economy would actually be gaining a little bit of momentum. In other words, like an airplane that had been descending, it sort of leveled out and will pick up a bit, helped by the softer oil price. Of course, you won't see the evidence of that pickup in global economic activity, I don't think, until the lagging statistics come out well into the first quarter. As far as the industrial, well, let me take the US dollar first. It's been hit hard, so, and it's mostly a ranging pattern overall. So we can certainly see it steady in range a little bit more in here, but it would take some pretty clear upward dynamics to shift the emphasis away from one of likely to move sideways and a little bit lower and further tests of underlying trading, to take it to shift it away from that towards a test of the upper side of the range. Once again, there's currently no evidence of a test of the upper side of the range, but you know, when you're in a range and it's been ranging for months here, that can't be entirely ruled out. But overall, I do expect a soft dollar. I think the administration wants, U.S. administration wants and needs a soft dollar. But of course, other countries will try to resist too much of an appreciation of their currencies against the dollar. That's what gives us a ranging pattern. More often than not. One that's resisting quite successfully here right now is the Australian government, or perhaps the Treasury, I should say, because the Australian dollar had been strong, rallied all the way back up within close range of its highs for the year against the US dollar, and has been now coming back down or coming off those highs in consecutive days. Again, no country wants a strong currency in this environment of intense pressures, competitive pressures from globalization. This is a point that I've made over and over again, and leads me on to the precious metals, which are certainly bullish, I believe. They're currently consolidating some gains in here. And that's hardly surprising. October was a very, very good month for the precious metals and coming up off those lows. I nibble a little bit on setbacks in here, but I'm content to hold a reasonably substantial long position. Overall, a lot of that's now protected within the money stops, fortunately, but not all of it. I don't want to have tight stops in here because anymore, because these things do wing around a little bit, as you've clearly seen if you follow the sector, as so many of you do. Industrial metals, well, one doesn't have to be a conspiracy theorist to think that there's a concerted effort by some of these big investment houses to try to talk them down. Now, when I say one doesn't need to be a conspiracy theorist, these firms, bless them, they really do feed off volatility, don't they? And the last thing they want is what precious, what industrial metals had done was score big gains and then just sit there. What they want is big rotational swings, which they can take advantage of, generating lots of commissions, and up and down and up and down, and so on. So I, as I say, it's not surprising that we've suddenly seen a convergence of bearish comments, quite bearish reports on a number of these metals, some of them completely over the top, in my view. And Owen and I will comment on a couple of more of those. But as far as the copper chart is concerned, it's overall bearish and will remain so until we break the progression of lower rally highs, best seen on the daily chart, which I posted in here again today. But I reiterate, I'm not really looking for anything other than a correction well, medium-term corrections, that's the term I've used. When you get big gains, accelerate on the upside, then a market is extremely vulnerable to a medium-term correction, which usually lasts for at least a number of months and occasionally up to a couple of years, seldom much more than that. But that's the situation that we're in, and I maintain these are secular bull markets overall. Crude oil, clearly from the action, it's going to require more support building. I've been saying that for quite a while. I don't look for any quick recovery in the crude oil price unless there's some sort of major accident regarding production. And that's, well, that sort of thing can happen, but there's no evidence of it at present. So I think you get lots of ranging sort of support building and then an eventual recovery. I do maintain that we are in a bottoming out area here. But if I'm wrong on that, and a lot of people think I am in the sense that they're bearish of oil and expect it to go lower, if they're right, then that will clearly have an effect on precious metals. But so far, certainly, I should say, during October at any rate, and so far this month, precious metals have shown that they want to go up and that they are capable of stretching that influence or partially unleashing themselves from that influence of crude oil. But it's always there, it always has been. And so what I'm really saying is firm crude oil prices and precious metals are more likely than not to be quite strong. Weak crude oil prices, and we would look to see gains in precious metals reined in and perhaps turned into corrections. Grains taking a breather in here today, just very small declines on the day. And I think that's it for another audio. The Dow up 36 as I complete. All the very best.